Welcome to podcast recorded live at the Center for Spiritual Living in Portland, Oregon. We have many resources available for our online audience on our website at csoportland.org. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its video podcast, you can donate online at csoportland.org. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living. For more information, visit csoportland.org.
Welcome to Portland Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Reverend Bridget McCann. My pronouns are she and her. I am the Senior Minister and Spiritual Director here at the Center, and I am so happy to see all of you. And welcome to those who join us in our virtual community space as well. You are a part of us. Muslims around the world are celebrating Ramadan. 30 days dedicated to Allah. 30 days dedicated to Taqwa, which means God consciousness. They do this by trying to protect themselves during those 30 days from anything that would insert distance between them and God. They do it by trying to be constantly aware of the presence of God in their lives in every moment. One practice that they engage in to try to achieve this is fasting from dusk to dawn, or from dawn to dusk. And the American Sufi Sheikh Robert Frager says that there are three levels of fasting. The first one we're probably all aware of, and that's fasting from all food and drink, including water, during that time. The second level of fasting is fasting from harmful behaviors and actions, such as gossiping and swearing and being unkind towards others, violence, judging others, smoking, expressing or even feeling anger. But then he goes on to write, there's a third level of fasting. It is the fasting of the saints, which is to fast from forgetting God. It is the fast of those who remain in constant prayer. Now he goes on to explain that fully achieving this third level of fasting is likely impossible, but it is very much worth giving it a try. Ramadan is also a time of increased charitable giving. It's a time to pray more than the five times a day that are required. It's a time to read the Quran, and it's a time to be in community. Ramadan is filled with community events at mosques around the world. The effects of all these is acknowledging God as the source of all sustenance. That God is our only source. And to be grateful for that, so grateful that it becomes a form of worship. Another effect related to the fasting is to increase our empathy and compassion for those who have no choice but to fast because of their circumstances in life. Ramadan also reinforces the values of discipline, reflection, and community responsibility. And Ramadan is a time of great joy. It is not a burden. It is not a hardship. It is a gift. A very young Muslim girl taught me this lesson a few years ago. Some Muslim friends invited me to a prayer vigil for a relative of theirs that was sick. And it happened to be during Ramadan. And because I'd been to the mosque many times with my friends, I recognized many of the people that were there in this home for this prayer vigil, including a family with two small girls. And every time I see these two small girls, because I speak English very well and their relatives do not, these girls always want to interact with me. And so we play and joke and laugh. And that's what we were doing when the older one, who was about 11 at the time, said, "I am so happy." I said, "Really? Well, what's making you so happy?" "Because I'm fasting," she said. And she went on to explain that it was her first year of fasting during Ramadan. Now, she had to get her parents' permission because, you know, Islam is a very practical religion, I've learned. And one way is that they're very practical is they don't necessarily have a very hard set fast. You must start praying at this age. You must start fasting at this age. You girls, you must start wearing a headscarf at a certain age. It's very individual with each child. But this little girl, she wanted to fast. So she had a conversation with her parents, and they said, "Yes, you can fast this year." And it was bringing her so much joy, she said, to fast for Allah. Imagine a whole month filled with that kind of joy, dedicated to taqwa, God consciousness. I wonder if we could do something like that. And science of mind, fasting to build our empathy and compassion, fasting in the sense of cleansing our mind or at least disciplining our mind to protect ourselves from those thoughts, attitudes, and beliefs that might distance us from that God consciousness, fasting to build gratitude. And more prayer, even more than five times a day, is what our Muslim friends do. We teach so much about prayer. What if we set days apart where we just prayed with no agenda to get anything or to manifest anything, but prayer simply to express gratitude, and prayer and meditation simply to feel and remember our union with and in the One. More time in community, more giving. There is great wisdom in this, and I think great inspiration for us. And not just in Ramadan, but in several concepts from Islam, I believe we can take inspiration. Including those five times a day that our Muslim friends pray. It's called Salah. Five times a day, no matter what you're doing, when you hear the call to prayer, stop and pray. Now, these prayers are highly scripted. In fact, I would encourage anyone, if you're interested in these prayers, just find a local mosque or Muslim community center and go to Friday afternoon prayer. They're very welcoming. I have done this in several cities and always very welcomed without pressure to convert, so don't worry, okay? They just welcome anybody to pray with them. Even if you don't understand all the Arabic, just try it out. But these prayers are very highly scripted. Certain words, certain verses of the Quran, certain movements, and the five times a day are very specific. But they all start with covering your ears or at least moving your palms back kind of behind your ears. This represents, I am putting everything of this world behind me so I can focus on my prayers and focus on God. They also say many times during every one of these prayers, Allahu Akbar. Now in the West, Allahu Akbar is most often translated as God is great. And unfortunately, those of us in the West think of it mostly in relation to terrorist acts. But that's not what it means, and that's not what it's meant for. Allahu Akbar actually means God is greater. And what that means is God is greater than everything in existence. It is greater than everything that is manifest and unmanifest. It is greater than the seen and the unseen, greater than the known and the unknown. It is greater than all of our thoughts and actions and deeds. It is meant to invoke a sense of awe and reverence for the divine as one prays. These prayers always end with the people prostrating themselves in an act of surrender to God. You know, many religions teach this. In the Muslim world, this looks like being on your knees, placing your toes, the palms of your hands, your forehead, and your nose to the ground. It is the only position in which your heart, the seat of all and the best knowing, is higher than your head. It's an act of surrender. It's surrendering your ego. The authors Coleman Barks and Michael Green equate this to plunging directly into the ocean of Allah and overcoming the sense of separation. They write, "Within the heart there is a great wanting to release all burdens and dive into an ocean of returning, to become one with one. Becoming one with one is to become inseparable with all being. Everything becomes our teacher, and everywhere is seen our own face. And within our own face is seen the face of God." This is an act of surrendering to our oneness. These same authors write the following about this prayer that they participate in 5 times a day. "The prayer lends a new life to the day, binding it into the rhythm of a sacred circle, like a water wheel that ceaselessly catches water out of the stream and spills it into a garden. The prayer lifts us up again and again out of our preoccupations and sets us into a sacred time. The prayer empowers us to put aside the 10,000 cares and realign to the unity and blessedness intrinsic in all things." There's a lot of wisdom and inspiration in this idea of praying 5 times a day. Now, for those of us in Science of Mind, we have an awful lot to say about prayer, so what if we prayed 5 times a day? You know, we live in stressful times. I'm feeling a little more stressed since I woke up this morning, or actually the last 2 days, with what's going on. But if we prayed 5 times a day, imagine the inner peace we would have with that. Imagine how much more calm we would feel in our bodies and in our minds if we prayed and remembered the presence of God 5 times a day. I'm quite certain we would be an even more beneficial presence in the world. I'm quite certain we would be better able to cope with what is going on in the world. And what about those times when we're worried and stressed out about what might happen tomorrow? Pray 5 times a day. We teach that prayer is using our co-creative powers to manifest the life we intend. Well, let's do it 5 times a day. Another aspect of Islam that I find very inspiring is to be careful with what you let into your life. This is in the concept of halal and haram. Halal is that which is permitted under Islamic law, and haram is that which is forbidden under Islamic law. Now, we most often think of it in the sense of food and drink. No pork, no alcohol, no intoxicating substances. Those are haram, forbidden. Halal is meat that has been butchered in accordance with Islamic law, which includes giving thanks to God. But this concept of halal and haram goes way beyond food and drink. It applies to every action and every decision. It applies to our actions and how we treat others. It is halal to treat others with fairness and respect and kindness and generosity. It is halal to keep your promises. It is halal to be good to your neighbors. It is haram to lie and cheat and steal and be dishonest. It applies to financial and business dealings. In business, you are to be fair and honest. You are to earn your income from honest, good labor, not through things like gambling. Haram in financial business dealings is exploiting others, and even it is haram to charge interest. What are the benefits of keeping halal? Well, it only lets in what is healthy and nourishing for the mind and the body. It builds stronger relationships, a more harmonious society. It promotes the ethical and humane treatment of animals, and it provides clear direction in a world of many, many choices every single day. It's really about conscious awareness of the impacts of every decision we make, big and small. So what if we asked ourselves, what are we letting in to our minds, into our bodies, into our relationships? What if every time we're faced with a decision, we asked questions like, is this healthy? Emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically? Is this fair to everyone involved? Is this life affirming? Does this support my relationship with the divine? I bet if we asked questions like that, we might make a few different decisions than we do currently. I see my Muslim friends try to apply this concept of halal and haram in everything they do, and it's quite extraordinary. And finally, I believe there's great inspiration for us and what it means to be a person of faith in Islam. Knowing that all faith should be in God and not in anything in this world. The first pillar of Islam is the profession of faith. I bear witness that there is no God but God, Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. In fact, if you want to convert to Islam, all you have to do is say that with sincere belief in your heart. That's it. It's quite easy. You don't even have to do it in front of other people. You don't have to get baptized. You don't have to go on the way. You just say that with sincere belief in your heart, and you are Muslim. That's not the only thing you do need to do to be a good Muslim, but it is the only thing you need to do to convert to Islam. That's how central it is in their faith. It is a part of every prayer. It is a part of every Islamic ritual. It is what unites all Muslims around the world as brothers and sisters in Islam. But what lies under it or within it is the meaning that all power is with God. They often put it as there is God and God has no partners. God doesn't need any partners. So it means that we should place all of our faith in God. A young Muslim friend of mine recently reminded me of this. She and her family are refugees from Afghanistan. And her fiancé is still in Afghanistan. And she was telling me about all the things she has tried and is trying to get her fiancé here from Afghanistan so they can finally be married and start their life and their family together. And she was asking me to help her kind of brainstorm, well, what if I did this? What if I did that? Do you know of any ideas? And because she knows I used to be an attorney and I know lots of immigration attorneys, she thought I might have some insights for her. But instead of helping her, I went off on this tangent about all the obstacles to getting this done. This administration, that. This administration, this. There is no way this administration is going to let a male Muslim from Afghanistan into this country. You should just wait. Why even bother? Well, this young woman was having none of that. She finally, thank you. She finally said quite firmly, I don't care about Trump. I only care about Allah. Yes. Kind of put me in my place. Reminding me that we should not be placing our faith in people, places, and things of this world. That is not our source. We should be placing our faith in the one source, God and only God. That is inspirational. I mean, this young woman is facing hardships that I can't imagine. And yet she has faith. What if we had that kind of faith, no matter how difficult our life is? I don't care about fill in the blank. I only care about God and the God within. Because she also knows that she cannot just pray five times a day, God, please take care of this. God, please take care of this. God, please take care of this. And then go off in her world as if she has no part to play in it. She is doing everything she can. She knows that God is answering her prayer by working through her and inspiring her and helping her stay strong. Sound familiar? Yeah. So Islam is filled with great wisdom. And I think it can inspire us in our own spiritual practices. Which leads me to an invitation or a suggestion. Now there are about two more weeks left of Ramadan. And every year during Ramadan, I pick two or three days and I set them aside for a retreat that I call mini Ramadan. I haven't ever tried it for 30 days yet. But this year I'm doing it this coming week on Thursday and Friday. And I will try to do everything that our Muslim friends do for 3 days. I will be up before dawn. And I will have a very large breakfast with lots of protein and lots of water. And I will fast until sunset. And then I will pray before I break fast. Download a Muslim prayer app. It will ask your location because 5 times a day, based on your location, you will hear a beautiful call to prayer. And so I will pray 5 times a day. And when not praying, I will try to meditate to feel the presence. I will read what I find spiritually uplifting. And I will try to protect myself from everything that would separate me from feeling that presence. and try to be more and more in alignment with taqwa, or God consciousness. So I invite you to give this a try. You can find many, many free Muslim prayer apps on your phone. And if you can't do it this week on Thursday and Friday, try to find one day in the next couple weeks where you could try this. I promise you, you will receive many, many blessings because it really is a joy to do this. And by the way, our Muslim friends do this for 30 days, which means they're doing it while working, while going to school, while taking care of the babies, while tending to the sick family members, while they themselves, well, actually, they, because they're very practical, if you're sick or pregnant or nursing or traveling, you don't have to fast. They're very practical. Anyway, I just invite you to give it a try so you too can be blessed by the wisdom of Islam. Let's pray. I invite our practitioners and ministers to stand and take this prayer into their consciousness as well. Thank you. I am filled with immense gratitude that one power and presence chose to express itself through an incredibly beautiful and diverse creation. Through an incredibly beautiful and diverse human life. That it chooses to reveal its wisdom and its peace and its love through all the world's faith traditions. Just as we have diverse, almost unlimited, or amazingly diverse languages and cultures and food and music and dance and clothing, so much diversity, diverse spiritual expression is one of the great gifts of that one life to us. And in today, during this holy month of Ramadan, I give thanks for all Islamic teachers and practitioners who so freely share their wisdom with anyone who would like to know just a little bit about their faith and what it means to them. So I give thanks for that. It is beautiful. It is inspiring. And I say a special word of thanks to all Muslims who invited me into their sacred prayer so I could learn. How to at least try to attain God consciousness. A consciousness that I know is available for everyone should they simply choose to attain it, to feel it. It's gratitude for all of this. I let it go and let it be because it was ordained before there was time. And so it is. Thank you.
We hope hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you happen to be in the Portland, Oregon area, we'd love to have you visit in person. The Portland Center for Spiritual Living is located at 6211 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Our inspirational service is at 11 a.m. every Sunday. We also have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the online tab. We have a variety of content dedicated specifically for our podcast listeners. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its podcast, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Our website is also the place to learn more about what's going on at the center or to contact us. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.